Chapter 17.
At the camp, the troopers are dead. Efni has been reduced to spare parts. Bones frees the prisoners. Gom gabbles as he's let loose, scrambling on all fours around the sand. The skull-eyed thing warbles with laughter, kneeling and raising its arms to the sky to take in its freedom. The others filter out together around the Imperial water supply and drink till their bellies must hurt. Nora tells them they'd do best to hightail it out of there, because the Empire will soon come, and next time they might put them in graves, not cages. She finds a speeder bike. She and Bones steal it and go. Together they travel for hours. Endless sand streaks past in mounding dunes that grow higher and higher. And soon the bike is cresting each hill and leaving her stomach behind with the drop back down on the far side. Bounce and dip, rise and fall. Worse, she has to close her eyes most of the time. She has no goggles, and the streaming sand burns her eyes. And it's not like she even knows where she's going. Right now, the priority is get away in any direction. The direction she picks is the one they chose at the outset. In the distance, she sees canyons and plateaus. The same ones, she believes, that they saw when they crash-landed here. So that's where she points the front prongs of the speeder. The blue sky begins to dim, bleeding at the horizon line. In the distance, she sees a pair of goggle-eyed humanoids half her size, digging in the sand. They don't even look up as the bike zips past. She hears something. An engine. A ship. That can't be good. The Empire controls the airspace here. Ahead, a small shape in the air grows larger and larger until she can see that it's a shuttle. Imperial, probably. Nora turns the speeder next to a heaping dune and lurks in its shadow as the ship passes overhead. It's not Imperial. It's some other make. Corellian, she thinks. It burns sky and keeps going until it's gone. Nora tells Bones to hold on again, then she throttles the speeder. It leaps forward like a haunch-whipped viractyl. And again, they're up and racing across the sands, fat plumes of dust filling the air behind them. Soon, though, she hears that ship once more. And she hears it too late to hide. The shuttle blasts past. It's not the Empire, so they should be safe, right? Except now the vessel is slowing down. It eases to a stop, hovering above the next dune. Slowly, its blunt front end starts to rotate back toward her direction. Oh no. Whoever it is, this can't be good. They have to keep on moving. Go around, she thinks. She turns the speeder so it'll take a far path around the shuttle, just in case. But as she whips past, someone is yelling. At her? To her? Wait, they're yelling her name. Nora! She tilts her heels back and pops the brakes. The bike skids to a halt in a spray of sand. She was right. The pilot of that ship is a bounty hunter. There, on the far dune next to the shuttle, stands Jazz Amari. Jazz takes the shuttle up toward the Red Rock Canyons, and there, as night falls, they park the ship in the shadows of a rocky overhang. Without even caring whose ship this is or where Jazz got it, Nora greedily feasts on food from a locker. It's not good food. It's a survivalist ration of Kukula nuts, dried Galcott, and Kalpa sea threads. But just the same, it may be the best thing she's ever eaten. And they have a water recycler, too. That she gulps down. It's cold and hurts her throat. And it's amazing. Everything is amazing. She wants to sleep. She wants to dance the way Bones is dancing right now. Dance, then sleep. Sleep, then dance. I'm alive. I'm with Jazz. I'm fed. Jazz stands in the doorway as Nora fills her cheeks with food. The bounty hunter has her arm against one side of the frame, her hip cocked and pressed against the other.
You look hungry.
They barely fed us.
Me neither. Trust me, I had my gorge on everything moment too. Sorry I didn't come sooner. I was in a similar predicament.
How? What happened?
Jazz tells her. About Nima the Hutt, about Mercurial Swift, about stealing this ship.
Your head,
Nora says, suddenly seeing the crust of blood and the missing horns.
You need Bacta.
I need nothing. I'll be fine.
Jazz, always stoic.
My horns are broken, but they'll grow back over time. Don't worry about it. What we need to worry about is our next move. We have a ship, and I checked the computer. It has Imperial clearance codes. They work for now, though if Swift reports it to the Empire, that may not last forever. But with clearance codes in hand, Nora, we could leave Jakku. Right now.
Reflexive fear rises inside Nora's heart at just the thought of once more flying through the Imperial fleet massing here, like the Death Star run all over again. But no, this would be safe. They have the proper codes. And yet, to what end? Their mission is a failure.
I suppose we should do that. Get back to Chandrila. Tell them what we've seen here.
She sighs.
Though that means none of this was worth it. We found nothing. Sloane gets away, and we've made no difference.
Jazz arches an eyebrow.
Well, there is one thing.
What?
I found Sloane.
Those three words. Colder and more refreshing than any water. Nora can barely breathe.
Tell me.
I didn't see much. It was as they were taking me in. The hut was getting ready for some kind of expedition. The whole place was like a nest of red jackets knocked out of a tree. Sloane was with them.
And do you know where they were going?
I heard a little. They were going to head past the canyons. There's some valley beyond it. That's where they're headed. Part of some caravan.
And Sloane? What was she doing there?
Jazz shrugs with her eyes.
No clue. She didn't look like she wanted to be there, but she wasn't a prisoner. And I almost didn't recognize her.
Why?
She wasn't in uniform. No Imperial gear or markings or anything. She looked like any other dust sucker or a scavenger. She was talking to someone. A man. Another scavenger, I guess. And that's all I saw. They dragged me back into my cell.
Nora finishes chewing one last Kukula nut. She stares off at an unfixed point as she speaks.
We could go home. Or we could go after Sloane.
Unless you want to set up shop on Jakku as a couple of sand merchants. Yes, I figure those are our choices.
We should go home. That's the smart thing to do.
It is.
Though, we don't always do the smart thing.
We rarely do, it seems.
Nora sighs.
What about you? What do you think?
Nora, I'm a bounty hunter. I'm like an Anuba with scent in its nose. I don't like to stop until the target is clamped tight in my jaws. But I'm not the boss here. You are. You brought us here, so I leave it to you.
I want Sloane.
Then let's go get Sloane.
Nora stands and thrusts out a hand. Jazz takes it and shakes it.
They embrace. It feels good.
Bones is there suddenly, thrusting his jagged-toothed droid skull in between their hug. Slowly, his metal arms enfold them, patting them both awkwardly on the back.
Hello. I am enjoying this hug, too. Hug, hug, hug. A hug is like violence made of love.
Jazz asks Nora,
"And where did you find him exactly?"
"I didn't find him. He found me."